Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to YHHTMPC.
Wait. What does that mean exactly?
Oh, yeah. You haven't heard This Music Podcast, a show about introducing lesser-known music of lesser-known artists from all over the world. And now, without further ado, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Welcome to You Haven't Heard This Music Podcast, a podcast about lesser-known music by lesser-known artists that we believe are as good, if not most of the time, better than that in the mainstream. This is our Artist of the Week. Our Artist of the Week is in our like virtual green room at the moment. I just saw him laughing at our intro, so he looks like he's in good spirits. He was in had a head cold earlier in the week. I'm feeling like dog shit at the moment, if I'm being honest. I think I might have the COVID. Who knows? But I don't think he's going to be able to catch it over the wire, so we'll be fine. So our artist of the week is Luke Concannon. Luke Concannon, formerly Nisloppy. We'll find out in a minute. Luke Concannon, Nisloppy. Yeah, we're going to have a chat with him. We're going to find out what he's been up to. I think he's going to play a live set for us, which is quite exciting, to be honest. Before I have that chat, I'm going to play one of his songs. I'm going to play his music video to the song Coventry. So, yeah, that's what's going to happen. If you want to follow us and find out more about us and what we do as a podcast, you can go over to www.yhhtmpc.com. Over there, that's our landing page. We have our blogs, our vlogs, all the episodes, all the artists of the week, the B-sides, everything's over there. That's our landing page. You can go over there and you can find everything. If you want to submit your music and your submissions, and we listen to all of them, I promise you, we listen to all of them. We get hundreds and hundreds a week, but we listen to all of them, at least I do. You can send your music to info@yhhtmpc.com. Over there, I will take a listen to your music, and then if we like your music and we think it's, you know, worthy of being listened to. And art is subjective, so I think every piece of music should be listened to, really. But, we've got plenty of platforms, like I said, the B-side and the different things. So, yeah, we'll find a place for you. If you want to support us, you don't have to, but if you want to, you can do that at buymeacoffee.com/YHHTMP. Every little bit helps. And, yes, so I'm going to stop jabbering on now. So this is my conversation and some of the music of Luke Concannon.
I don't want to be your friend anymore. We are at war. I wish there was something could be done. What have we become? People burning while they're yearning for a kiss now. Wanted heaven, but the cathedral. Coventry in 1940. Incendiaries, rain, fire on our sea. Everything was like Coventry, and the blitz just burning. Lord, our hearts, and now we're learning. Do you wanna let me into your heart now? No! Burn the whole world down. Do you wanna let me into your heart now? No! Feels like Coventry in my heart. There's always something wrong at the core. We planted indoors. The more we try to hide and ignore it, the more we're complicit. There are damn bridges cross the ridges for a friendship. Hear the bombers coming closer now to end it. Trying to mend it. Bridge is burning. Home is burning. It feels like Coventry in 1940. Incendiaries rain, fire on our sea. It feels like Coventry in the blitz just burning. Lord, our hearts, now we're learning. Me into your heart now. No! Burn the whole world down. Do you wanna let me into your heart now? No! Feels like Coventry in my heart.
Song. I've heard the song loads of times, but it's the first time today I've seen the video. I didn't realize you did a video for it.
Yeah.
Really good video. It's an amazing depiction of the Coventry around that time. It really is.
Thanks, Richie. Yeah. You know, my best friend from high school in Leamington Spa, Warwick, he made that video. And you know, the song itself is obviously like, it's a metaphor, right? It's like, it feels like Coventry in the blitz in my heart because I'm so sad about the suffering between me and somebody else. And then Merrick was just my friend, you know, made the video. He just went for it and just totally depicted it in the city, you know. So it's fun to collaborate with people, right, and see all these different angles.
Yeah, I think the only problem with the video is because of your story behind the song, watching the video, I get a different story to the original meaning. But yeah. When you say you can, if you listen to the song without the video, you can still understand. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take away from the song, obviously, but it gave me a different story, which is good. I mean, you know, that's what art should do, shouldn't it? You know, you should be able to take your own thing from music sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel you. Sometimes it's good to keep it simple and tell one story too.
Yeah, true. Luke, it's always good to have you on the show. You, of all the artists we've ever had, you've got the most amazing energy of all the artists. You just got such a good vibe about you all the time. I love it.
Oh, man.
I feel like absolute horseshit at the moment. I've got this chest infection, and I've been feeling a bit rough. I didn't really want to do this, but as soon as I saw your face, I was like, yes, this is we can do this.
Well, that's really good of you, Richie, and I love you. You know, like, you've been so kind, and it takes one to know one, you know.
Yeah, it's good to see you really busy. Cause, I mean, when we first met, it was probably about 3 years ago now when you did the show with us, and you played the JCB song for us, which I was truly thankful for. But around that time, you weren't very busy. I mean, I think you got a little bit of music out since the JCB song, but you hadn't done lots. And then suddenly, from then till now, you've just been non-stop. You're doing things all the time. You're streaming all the time. Your face is always on my newsfeed, which is good, though. You know, that is what, as an artist, you should be doing, getting your stuff out there. And I think in one of your recent songs, you kind of touched on it. You kind of lost your way a bit. You lost your focus. But and you're saying how look at Ed Sheeran, how well he's doing, that should be me type thing. I think, would you say you've give yourself a kick up the arse type thing? And you,
yeah, you know, I mean, in truth, like, when we did speak, I was flat out. It's just, it was, you know, it was things like finishing the record or coaching artists or running workshops or whatever. But
it wasn't out in the public as much as it is now.
That's it. You know, at the beginning of the year, I put an album out, and really for over a year now, I've been putting out singles. And yeah, you know what? I got coached. The mad thing was about 5 years ago now, a friend said, this guy really helped me get a sense of purpose. You know, like, what am I really about? And where am I going? And what values matter most to me? And actually, I work with this guy, Alan Seid, S-E-I-D. And he just really helped me, like, so what do you want to do, Luke? Because the world's so confusing. You know, it's so confusing. It's like, well, I want to be a musician, but I don't want to sell out. So how do you navigate it, you know? I want to follow my heart, and I also don't want to like totally burn out and die of starvation and exhaustion. So it's been really good, and I've been loving it. I've probably overdone it, which is why I'm ill, you know. But you know, the album came out at the beginning of the year, and it came straight in at number 12 in the US folk chart and number 12 in the UK folk chart.
Really?
Totally independent, so you know, no major label backing. It's just us, just a little team, and we put out a documentary last month, a documentary film about house concerts.
I was going to ask about that.
And then and now we're promoting this workshop with Ed Sheeran, doing a masterclass. We're doing a songwriting workshop in January, 22nd, 23rd January. All details are on my website, lukeconcannon.com. So 2 days of virtual songwriting workshop retreat, and the old Ginger Jesus will be given a 90-minute songwriting workshop at that, a masterclass.
People are going to realise that Ed Sheeran is doing this masterclass. And it's for the price. Yeah, if when you look at the price, I mean, when I looked at it, I thought, Jesus, that's quite expensive. But when I thought about it, no, you're having a masterclass with one of the greatest current songwriters in the world and the person who taught him. So really, you're getting a bargain. But do you worry that people are going to see that and think, oh, I'm going to get to meet Ed Sheeran and do it just for that? I mean, obviously, you hope they don't. But there's a chance that they might do it because of that.
Yeah, you know, so far, I mean, actually, Ed Sheeran posted it on his Instagram story the other day, and he's got like 26 million followers. And in my mind, I was like, right, the remaining like 20 tickets are just going to go whoosh in the next 5 seconds. Yeah. You know what I mean? But actually, we sold like 5 tickets that day, which is great. But it just shows you that there's people, you know, there's loads of people who might follow you.
But they're not always paying attention.
And they're also not. They're not always that committed to learning and being in, you know, to getting to be with you, that they're going to pay like $1,000 for the experience, you know? So it's been interesting. It's been, you know, I personally lean towards, I want to give everything away for free. You know, I lean towards
you've
every
still got a living to make though, Luke. You got a living.
That's it. That's it. And every workshop I've ever done, I've really lent in to try and make it accessible to everyone, and then give scholarships to hard pressed people and or free tickets to some people. And then I'm having to learn, like you say, that there's something about looking after ourselves as well. Like, we have to learn how to look after ourselves to keep the show on the road. And so I've had to dare to say, okay, well, I'm going to charge a high ticket price, and we're going to make sure we deliver a great weekend like we always do with these workshops. And,
yeah.
And the people who, you know, the people who can make this one will, and then future ones won't be as high a price, because we won't have the most successful live musician of all time giving a masterclass, you know.
I don't think it's that high a price when you consider what you get in. I mean, I wasn't saying that just for the sake of saying it. Literally, the current, probably one of the biggest singer-songwriters in the world right now, and he's, you know, he's going to give information on how he's done, what he's done, what he do, in same as yourself, you know, because you've been there, done that with him. And I don't think it's that expensive. And I'm not saying that just because you're here. It kind of, you know, I don't really think it is. But yeah. Then the good thing about it is as well, you haven't overhyped it in the way it's like, take Chris Hemsworth, for instance. He's got a project out at the moment where he's selling his class. He teaches you how to train like he does, so you can become massive. And he sells it in a way that's like, if you do what I do, you too can become big and muscly and fit like me. It doesn't take into account all the steroids he takes and everything, which that's probably liable. But yeah, it's like, no, realistically, not many people can achieve. Like, don't get me wrong, you can achieve a good figure, but you can't achieve that. Whereas, and with you, you could have gone down the same route. You could have said, look, we've got Ed Sheeran. Look how well he's done. If you come and do this masterclass, you know, you could be world famous next year. You could have marketed it like that, but you didn't. You've been absolutely real about it. You know, it's just what we've done. We're going to show you how we did it, how we went about it. And you haven't hyped it up in a way of, like, if you do this, you can be massive also. And I hate it when artists
that's it, I know.
Disingenuous.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, you know, because that's something else I've had to learn, right? Because I'm very idealistic, and so money is a challenge for me. But I've had to learn that there's a way of, quotation marks, marketing something, as in selling something, which is about saying from the heart, this is what this is about, so that people who want it know what it is, and who don't want it know what it is. You know, it's like, if we're just really honestly saying, this is for people who want to learn and grow as songwriters, you know, who are fans of Ed's, maybe fans of mine, who want to get vocal coaching, get feedback on their work, collaborate with other artists around the world, then it's for you. Bad marketing is the kind of thing you say, which is kind of telling lies and being manipulative. And the thing is, we're just so used to seeing that everywhere. And it's a line, you know, I notice it myself. I'm like, oh, I really want this person to buy a ticket. But if I don't think it's actually a fit for them, really, it's in my integrity to tell them, I don't think this is right for you. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
that's so rare, though. That's so rare. Not many people are doing that.
Well, we've got to bring that back, because otherwise the world just goes to hell, right? Unless we hold, hold the line, walk the line. That's what Johnny Cash said, right?
Yes, I absolutely agree. I agree, and I think some people might say to you, "That's why, I don't know.
Go for it, Richie. Just lash it out there.
Some people would say that you're not as famous, maybe, mm-hmm. as you could be. But the thing with you as well is, you've had that level of fame. Yeah, I don't think you cared for it. It was never the fame for you. It was more about the love of the music, which again is so rare, because everybody wants the fame and they want the money. Whereas when talking to you and watching you, you know that you have a genuine love for the music, and it was never about that. And that's why you're not a super mega star, because, and it's not that you couldn't have been, you could have probably followed up after the JCB song and produced something and sold out, because you had that position, you had that platform, and you could have worked off it, but that wasn't you. And I truly respect that.
Thanks, Richie. I'm learning like all of us, and one thing that I'm learning is just, but what is actually important in life, and we're all running so fast and pushing ourselves and being hard on ourselves and maybe being hard on other people and being hard on the planet. And, we're going to burn this planet out within a century if we carry on. So it's really time to ask, like, what do we really care about and how do we really want to live? And so I'm all for choosing simplicity and quality of life and connections and the quality of the work, definitely, like making good stuff over chasing after wealth and fame and sex and power and all that, because there's actually a lot of suffering hidden within that.
Of course there is, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think the fans you have got, and you've probably had them for years, those are the best fans in the world. Those are the fans you want. You don't want the millions of disingenuous fans that are only going to follow you so long as you're producing the music they like. And, you do one song and suddenly them hating on you on Twitter and calling you names. The kind of fans that you've built up over time, they will still respect the music that they might not enjoy as much as the one before, but they'll still be there and they'll still follow you. And those are real fans. And I think that's the kind of loyalty you've built up. Would you say?
Yeah. And it's, I think I got clarity that it'd be great. Like I love playing Hyde Park to 20,000 people, or playing Wembley Arena to 12,000 people. That was great, and it feels amazing. It's like, a good gig or a good song, it's like bringing people a good meal. It just feels great. Like when I worked as a waiter, bringing people food and saying, "Do you need anything else?" It feels really good, because you're giving people something they need, and so playing, giving 12,000 people something good feels great. And the something good part is the most important thing. Like quality is what really matters. And so I'm just really interested, I love the artists like Declan O'Rourke, Anais Mitchell, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who write really heart-opening music. And that's what I'm wanting to do. And we'll just see where it goes, but we're making enough, we're almost in track to get our first mortgage now. 43.
Just want to give a shout out to Doug at the Mind Gap podcast. He's commenting, he says he uses the app I mentioned earlier for Chris Hemsworth. He says, "I use that. He loves it." He says, "Yeah, I'll be the god of thunder before you know." I shouldn't really slag it off. I mean, it's wrong of me. I mean, maybe it is, but I just struggled around the marketing. If it's working, it's working. It is working, because Doug has done really well with his training and everything. So I take my hat off to him. He says, "You can't imagine performing to that many people."
It's a good old buzz, I tell you. And what was the maddest buzz, right, is that was with Nisloppy, and we were just we were really doing our thing. We were writing the songs we wanted to write. You know, they were about, like, just from the heart songs, whether it was about love or it was about, you know, anti-Iraq war songs or about my dad or... So we were totally doing our own thing. And then we got to do that for 12,000 people in Wembley Arena. And that's an amazing combination. Because we were actually, madly enough, we were opening show for Christina Aguilera.
Really?
Which was mental. But she was doing this Back to Basics tour with a big jazz band. And they were like, oh, who's a UK artist that sort of mixes in jazz and pop and like R&B and... And someone was like, oh, yeah, Ms. Luffy. So she, like, Christina did, like, 10 costume changes in the show, you know? And, like, there was, like, the audience was super kind of teenage girl. And then we came on. It was mad. But there you go, you know. Well, Ed's shown that that sort of music can really cross over. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of... I'd say, I want to say you paved the way for it, but he made it more mainstream. Because when I play your music all the time to people, if I'm in the car, whatever, an Islopi song or off your more recent albums will always come on. It's on my main, all your songs on my main playlist. So if I've got in the car on a journey, one of your songs is guaranteed to come on. And when I say, oh, you know, that's Luke Concannon. Who's Luke Concannon? You know, and he's Loppy. Oh, rings a bell. I'm Luke on five. I'm like, oh, yeah, I love him, yeah. But, I was going somewhere with that. But, they always say, oh, I can see, because I say, oh, you know, he was kind of like played with Ed Sheeran, kind of followed you about and worked with you, and kind of he says that you're his inspiration. Even now he says that, and they say, oh yeah, and when they listen to music they say, I can hear Ed Sheeran in that. I can, so it's kind of like you've passed your fruit on type thing.
Well, it is amazing, isn't it, like this continuation of music.
Yeah.
Like we would have been really inspired by U2 as teenagers and Tom Waits and then John Martin and Danny Thompson.
There was the other guy that you were mentioned as well as a folk singer.
Rory McLeod.
Oh, he's so good. I'd never heard of him. And then it was through you. You sent a song and I love it. Unfortunately, I can't find him on Spotify, but...
He didn't go on Spotify because
to buy his work because I really love his work. It's really good.
Yeah. He's like my spiritual dad, you know, musical spiritual dad. Because I think, when I was about 18, 19, I saw him play live when I was 19 and it just changed my life. He played for 4 hours for like 80 people in the Concords in Brighton. And it was just transformative, absolutely transformative.
So someone here, ask him for freebies, Luke. They want freebies from you. If you don't mind me asking, by any chance, can you give me some advice? Because I'm trying to become a music artist. What should I write? Because I've been going with my mind and heart, but I notice it's dark or negative. But that worked for Natalie and Brulia. That's all I'm saying. But I'm trying to be more positive, to bring positivity to people. But by any chance, have you any advice on how to write songs like that? I think as a musician who works... I've been in bands, whatever. I think you can only go with your heart. I mean, if you're only writing dark stuff, I think if you write something that's positive and you're not feeling positive, it's not a genuine song, is it?
Yeah. It's a really good question, and it's Moxie. That was the name in the chat. So it's a really good question.
Moxie, yeah. Sorry, it's Moxie. Thanks for the question.
Yeah, because it's like what I'm hearing in that is that maybe you feel some sadness because you really want to put positivity out to people, but that's not necessarily what's there. And I guess
I'd say... Do you recover?
Well, I guess I'd say, you know, it's a good mirror to realize that, you know, maybe we realize that we're pretty sad when we write, or that things aren't quite right. And it's a good chance to think, well, what isn't right? You know, to really baby ourselves a bit and just be like, oh God, I feel really sad. You know, what do I need? Do I need some rest? Do I need to make some changes? Do I need to ask for some help? So I think that's one of the amazing things about writing songs, is you get in touch with yourself and you learn things, and you have to think, well, what do I want to say? What is worth saying? And then, like Richie says, just if we write honestly, there's actually a lot of hope in that, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, look at Coventry that we just listened to. That's not a positive song, is it? But it's a fantastic song because it's from the heart. It's not a song that comes from a positive moment in your life, but it's such a good song, and it's a song that people can definitely relate to. So I think sometimes, you know, embrace the tools that you have. Just because it's dark doesn't mean you can't work with it. And if you're not feeling positive and it's bringing you down, maybe you should see someone.
Oh, bless you. And that's a good point. And who is the someone, you know, right? Because it's not like everyone needs to go see a therapist. It's like we all need community, and how can we find that? And that's a tough thing in this world. But I'm going to my local Buddhist group. It's all on Zoom still because of the pandemic. And that's been really helping me, just meditating, having a chat.
You should say that, because I was going to say earlier, I didn't know you did that, and I was going to say, when I was on about your positive energy, you feel like the Buddha of the music world. I was going to say that. Yeah,
that's very kind. That's very, very kind. Oh, I'm happy to hear that. That's what I'm going for. You know, because
I think you've achieved enlightenment.
Not quite. You know, there was one other thing that's in my mind though about that brilliant question from It's Moxie, which was Coventry. So that's a good example, because a lot of songs basically come from our hearts broken open and then something comes out of it. And so, you know, there's a lot of good music that's come out of suffering, you know. And my music teacher, when I played in Coventry, he was like, it's a really good passionate song. And are you just wanting to just do like a primal scream of like, ah, or what do you want to give people? And at that point, I hadn't written the last section, the live the truth or burn bit. And he was like, If you've written a song that's basically saying, I had this experience, I love someone, and now we're in terrible conflict, it really hurts so much. It feels like being at war. It feels like burning. Okay, what's the end of the story? What did you learn from that? Like, what's the moral of the story? If it's like an Aesop's fable, you know, like the tortoise and the hare had a race, and the hare was like really braggadocio, and the tortoise was like, I'm just doing my thing. And then the moral of the story is slow and steady wins the race. So the moral of Coventry was like, actually, we've got to live our inner truth and dare to live it out in the world. Otherwise, we're all going to suffer. You know, that's what I'd learned from the song. So if you're going to write a dark song, darken the frick out of it. Be really honest. Be honest, and people will feel that honesty. And it'll be interesting. And then say, like, and this is what I've learned. This is the gift that I can give you from this suffering.
I love that. I love that. I love that about your work. And it's in everything you do. You've never done a song for the sake of just doing a song, and because you need to put something out there to keep people happy. None of your songs come across that way at all, ever. All of your songs have meaning, have heart, and I'd imagine that's always been your ethos, is it not?
I love the songwriters who are doing it to heal themselves and other people. And yeah, it feels good when there's a reason to write it. Otherwise, it's just like chat, just chatter. Yeah, thanks. It's yeah, like it sounds like you really care about songwriting, and so just keep going. And there's a really good book called If You Want to Write by Brenda Uhland. Highly, highly recommend it. Best book on creativity. And right up there alongside it is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. That's a fiery one.
It's an interesting question in the way that most people, most songwriters, if they struggle, they struggle to find something to write about, and that they have like writer's block. It's very rare you come across somebody who's genuinely worried about what they're putting out and how it's coming across.
I've heard, there's a lot of people getting stuck, and I have heard it a few times, like, God, I just want to write something cheerful for people. You know, something that's really helped me, Alistair McIntosh, when I first met him, the great Quaker activist, he said, I said this to you before, Richie, about like every step grounding us. You need to feel that every step is grounding you deeper and deeper into service, right? That we're giving something nourishing and we're empathizing and being generous. And that gave me so much hope, because it's like, oh yeah, just give people the best you can, serve people, love them, be kind. And that's so much easier than being like, who do I think I am being up here? You know, just like give from the heart and just let go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Luke, what's next for you then? What can people expect from you in the 2022? That's gone quick, hasn't it, that?
Hasn't it? Pure. So, you know, we're starting the year with this songwriting workshop with Ed Sheeran Masterclass, 22nd, 23rd January. And then I'm really hungry to get inspired and to write, you know, and to make some space and time to write again. And something I'm really interested in is that I've always been a traveler, you know.
A bit of a nomad.
Yeah. And when Niz Lupi were touring, you know, we're in this dream position for a lot of musicians. And I would be like on the way to a gig somewhere, and I just in my mind be just wanting to be like hitchhiking to Dakar, or, you know, like volunteering in the West Bank, or just being out on an adventure in the outdoors, connected to nature, meeting people that we don't get to see, but the media like demonizes Muslims or demonizes whoever, migrants or whatever. And actually, like, what's it like to go and meet these people and be friends and write songs and see what's really going on and bring that home? So I've always been interested in that wayfaring gypsy quality. And then, you know, I noticed that Rory McLeod, who's like,
I was about to say, Rory McLeod, he was a lot like that, wasn't he?
He still is, you know, he still gets in the back of his, he's basically been touring in Mercedes, big Mercedes vans for like 40 years. And, you know, he'll play like a 4-hour gig in, you know, a socialist club in Yorkshire, and then go and sleep in his van and then drive the next day to somewhere else and play. And so there's something about that wild, windy, natural, light way of being, right? Because traveling people, they can't carry much stuff with them. They're not necessarily, it's like Tyson Fury, God love him, who, by the way, played the JCB song on one of his videos. I was like, go on, Tyson. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, obviously he's a complicated character. He's got issues like all of us. But it's like, he says he doesn't care about the money and the belts and the fame. He just cares about, like, he's from a tradition of warriorship, so he's going to do that. right? And then there's some traveling people who are from a tradition of songs. And my favorite Irish bagpiper, Paddy Keenan, he's from the traveling tradition. And a lot of the best songs were brought along by traveling people and shared around the world. So I'm really interested in a project that, you know, I'd like to be outdoors writing a lot. I'd like to go on a trip to get inspired. I'd like to connect with Irish travelers, Scots and English travelers, and draw. I'd love to listen to what that tradition has to say to us now, when so many of us feel trapped and like overwhelmed by technology and living indoors too much. And you know, the projects that most blow me away are long form projects, you know. Anais Mitchell's Hades Town, it's a folk musical, right? It's like a 2 hour long piece of songs after songs telling a story. Hamilton by Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, which is a cultural event in the world, that revolutionary hip hop, but on the West End. So I'm really interested in writing a long form piece. Declan O'Rourke's Chronicles of the Great Irish Famine speaks to me. And I think I need to go into a period of listening so I can hear what, you know, what the world really needs. Do you know what I mean? Like,
a period of isolation, you mean? Like time on your own, just
slowing down.
Without technology, just you, a guitar, a piece of paper, a pen, and just fuck the world for a couple of months.
Well, it's...
But you need that. People need that. And people don't do it anymore.
Well, yeah, taking time out, like you say, and it might not even be all like, you know, a month just sat with a guitar and a pen. It might be that I need to go on a journey, I need to retreat a little bit. I need to get inspired. And, you know, I still hope that art can change the world. And that's what I want to tune into and see what I can find, you know, make my contribution, whatever it is. I've heard stories about musicians who write a song in like 30 minutes to an hour and it becomes a real banger. Have you ever experienced something like that, where the creative magic just flows out of you? And that's your pal, isn't it? That's Thor.
That's Doug from America. He's part of the Mind Gap podcast. In fact, I'm wearing his shirt, Mind Gap podcast shirt. I brought it because I thought, you know, I'll be able to advertise his podcast on more, like, support independent artists. He's an independent artist. What I didn't realise was you can't see it. I'm gonna have to get the hat or something.
That's it. Yeah. It's a good question. It's a really good question, Doug. I think what it points towards is that if we focus and go for it, we can do amazing stuff. You know, I've been watching a bit of that Beatles documentary, the Get Back one, that's on Disney Plus.
I want to watch that. Is it good?
It's amazing. And it's just, what's amazing is it's a bunch of Liverpudlian lads smoking, chatting, playing a few covers, and then trying to write something. It's just, they're just so normal. And then they just do this magic. And but what's amazing is that you see in that moment, Paul McCartney's just sat there and he's just like playing one chord on, he's just playing one chord on his bass. He's just like, he's just writing Get Back there and then, and you just hear it. Just, and so the idea for one of these amazing songs that has given people so much happiness, it did come in like 30 minutes. And then the bringing it down to earth, it takes me at least 90 minutes, 2 hours to bring the bulk of it down to earth, you know? And there was some research done about deep work. There's a book called Deep Work, and it points towards the idea that for the mind to go into a state of really deep concentration and really to use the full capacities or as much as of our capacities as we can, we need like 2 hours. An hour actually isn't enough for the mind to really sink in, you know. And I mean, I think I wrote the bulk of the JCB song in more like 2 hours, you know. So you can it doesn't have to be like a, it doesn't have to be an arduous year-long process to write a song, but an hour often isn't quite enough to get something great.
I found when I've been in bands, and you won't have this so much being a solo artist, but there's something to be said for jamming. Just I sit there as a percussionist drummer, and I roll out a beat, any kind of beat, and then the bass guitarist will just play something along with that. Then the guitarist will play something along with it, and then something will come out of that. But as a solo artist, you don't. You can jam on your own. You know, you can throw some chords together. Have you ever jammed? Have you ever had that experience where you've just been jamming and playing something random, and then something beautiful's come out of the mix?
With others or just on my own?
Both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was how Nisloppy wrote a lot. John from Nisloppy is a machine. You know, he would try and invent literally new ways of playing the bass or the double bass or even the guitar. And so he would just show up with some mind blowing idea, and it was so exciting. So then I'd write, you know. Oh yeah. So we could put those books in the chat. Itz is asking about which books did we mention? You're not bugging us at all. It's a good one. So the books were Brenda Uhland, If You Want to Write. Great book. You can get it for like a few pennies online because there's so many secondhand ones out there. And then the other one is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Yeah.
Brienne D.A.
Yeah, Brienne. That's it.
Brenda Uhland, If You Want to Write. And the other one is, I'll put it on the screen as well. I suppose that these streams do have their purposes then. Do you get much interaction on the streams that you do?
Yeah. Every Tuesday I've been showing up and just... It's sweet. People show up and they're like, oh, I just got in from work and I needed a few songs. Why don't I play you a song, man?
Yes. Yeah. I did say this was only going to be about 10, 15 minutes. I've took a lot more of your time. Sorry about that, Luke.
It's great. It was a good conversation. I'm a happy hour.
No, it's been good, yeah. Where can our followers find you if they want to find you and find out more about you?
Thanks a million. Yeah, so please go over to lukeconcannon.com. You know, it's just like my name here on the screen there. Yeah, there it is. Please sign the mailing list because I'd love to just tell you what's coming up. We host a songwriting workshop twice a year, sometimes in person, sometimes online. I'm coaching artists, and the new album Ecstatic Bird in the Burning is out everywhere.
I bought the vinyl. I don't even own a record player, but I bought the vinyl, and you sent me a little card with it. They were signed as well. It was lovely. Thank you for that.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the man, Richie. You're such a sweet man.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Doug says, in a similar vein, I've done comedic improv jams to build out sketches. I love the process of throwing out stuff and finding the really great elements that you could refine. I'd imagine comedy's got a similar kind of a thing to music in that you have to write and what have you. Luke, we're gonna play out with a song now. What are you gonna play us?
There's this old folk song that I've been really loving. I remembered it around Remembrance Day last month. And it's a haunting song, and it's something we need to remember. So this is The Rose of York. It was written by an unknown folk duo, and then Roy Bailey made it popular. I'll have to look up who the actual writers are, man. That's naughty of me. Here we go. Mark Fenner, I am a Yorkshire man. I earn my living by my pen, tell a stirring tale I can. But the one I tell you now, boys, was writ by foolish men, when petals fell from a rose of York, never to bloom again. Come all you young unmarried men, you boys of the bulldog breed. We're looking for the strong and brave, that's what Britannia needs. We'll fight the Hun in Flanders and drown them in the sand. But petals fell from a rose of York, never to bloom again. Well, we first shipped out to Egypt, where the heat was hard to bear. We were waiting for the call to France, for the Boche were fighting there. And we talked of what we do, boys, brother, son, and friend. But petals fell from a rose of York, never to bloom again. At last we heard the push was on, and we sailed across the main. We little thought in 2 weeks' time we'd most of us be dead. And the girls back home would weep with a grief that's hard to mend. And petals fell from a rose of York, never to bloom again. With shouts of joy, we led the charge towards the German wire. The handsome Mason was first to fall as the shots they opened fire. His face no longer handsome on the barbs, he met his end. And petals fell from a rose of York, never to bloom again. Well, we had a sergeant major, bold by nature, bold by name. But the German guns don't pick and choose, so bold die just the same. Many gallants followed after the coin of life to spend. And petals fell from a rose of York, never to bloom again. Well, we didn't want to lose you, but we thought you ought to go. Your king and country needed you, Lord Kitchener told us so. But the story now I've told you was writ by foolish men. When petals fell from a rose of yore, never to bloom again.
You can't get much for $5 these days. Unless you go to Wendy's for a $5 Biggie Bag. Get your choice of double stack, junior bacon cheeseburger, or crispy chicken BLT. Plus, four-piece nugs, fries, and a drink. All for just $5. You got that bag. You got that Biggie Bag. You got that bag. That was smooth, wasn't it? That's how you're going to feel when you get that Biggie Bag at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes four-piece nuggets, small soft drink, and small fry. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.